This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Get ready for a live mock draft with our friend Alfredo Brown. Alfredo, how much do you like Superflex leagues?
I like it about as much as eating pizza and then playing tennis late at night on a wet court.
Wait, you don't like Superflex leagues?
I actually do. I just haven't done a lot of Superflex leagues this year. I usually almost always reserve Superflex for dynasty stuff. I'm a bit of a redraft purist, but this will be fun to jump in and, you know, get my feet wet with some Superflex right now.
I think there's one person that we have a 12-team Superflex league, and I love Superflex. It's definitely my favorite format. And this is two flexes and a Superflex. I'll tell you the format in a second. We have one guy who is not here, and he has the first pick. So I think we're going to give him Jahmyr Gibbs. What do you guys say? Superflex
love
league, Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah. You don't have to start with a quarterback. I'll tell you, I was in two Superflex leagues last year, 10-team and 12-team, and I'll just tell you the rounds in which the teams that played for the championship drafted their quarterbacks in the 10-team league. Rounds two and seven for the winning team, rounds one and six for the runner-up. In the 12-team Superflex league, they drafted quarterbacks, the winning team, Dan Schneier, in rounds three and four. How about he started with Bijan, Puka, Purdy, and Trevor Lawrence. That's pretty good. And the runner-up went with quarterbacks in rounds three and like eight. Three, six, and eight or something like that. So you do not start quarterback. I mean, well, you don't have to anyway. So far, we have Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, and Josh Allen, and Ja'Marr Chase with our first four picks. Jamie, what pick do you have?
I have pick six.
And you're on the clock as we just had Drake May go. What are you going to do here?
Yeah, I'm going to take Puka Nacua. Hopefully he is okay. I'm sure based on last week's suspension dump on a Friday, we might find out if Puka suspended today. That would be ideal if we find out as soon as possible. So yeah. If he is going to be suspended along with Josh Jacobs, we'd like to find that out before the majority of drafts happen. But I still think if Puka's healthy, no suspension or minimal suspension, he should be the number two receiver off the board behind Ja'Marr Chase, who already went.
Okay, so Alfredo, you have the 10th pick, so you're up soon. So first five picks of this Superflex League, Gibbs, Bijan, Josh Allen, Ja'Marr Chase, Drake May, and Puka Nacua.
That'd be six. Right,
what we've got here is a 12-team Superflex League. Superflex means you've got an extra flex spot and you can start any position that you want, including quarterback. No kicker or defense, but you can start any of the four offensive skill positions. So usually it's going to be a quarterback. It's full PPR, start two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, and two flex, and the super flex. So we'll see how that changes things. We've got Puka Nacua at six to Jamie, JSN at seven, Amon-Ra St. Brown at eight. Alfredo, you're on deck. What are you thinking here?
I'm actually surprised how many skill positions have gone instead of quarterbacks in the super flex draft. I think that's just something to pay attention to when you get into these drafts. How everything falls. I had my plan A, my plan B, and my plan A is here. So I am going with Lamar Jackson at this pick. And get him at the tail end of round one in a super flex. I'm happy with that.
I'm sorry about that. I'm going to have to turn off my sound if I can figure that out. Yes, I am on deck. So he went with Lamar Jackson. And that is only the third quarterback off the board with 10 picks. And so now pick 11 is Christian McCaffrey. Which brings
great team name, by the way.
What is it? I can't even see.
Dan's indigestion.
We actually have a few Dan related team names. We have Dan's indigestion.
That one's a little mean.
Yeah, okay. I won't read the other one. Yeah, no, that's not cool.
That one's not nice.
All right. I think I got to go Chase Brown here. But what's my other pick going to be? It's not going to be Lamb or Jefferson.
You'd go Chase Brown over James Cook?
Sure. I'm going to go Chase Brown over James Cook, and I'm going to go, look at this. I'm going to go Joe Burrow. I'm going to go Bengals. And I just read a practice report from Bengals-Bears practice from our John Breach on CBSSports.com, and he said the Bengals defense was so good. He said something like, start the season right now because they are ready. Dexter Lawrence had an interception. So they've obviously they've invested a lot in the defense and off to a good start there. Did I not take Burrow yet? I'm sorry. There we go. Joe Burrow. All right, so that's four quarterbacks in the first 13 picks. Allen, May, Jackson, and Burrow. It is a 6 point per passing touchdown league, by the way. All right, Alfredo, you're on deck here. Anything stand out to you? I mean, the first round looks kind of like a normal first round, but you know, you've got James Cook still on the board. Hope maybe you'll get him there. But anything stand out to you so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in seeing how many wide receivers went off the board so early. I know these are all the guys you expect to see, but with it being just a regular two wide receiver league and you still have the super flex, I thought running back would get, you know, cleared out a little faster and quarterbacks would go earlier. So I'm looking now at the skill positions in round two and I'm kind of into what I see here. I just saw CeeDee Lamb go board. So yeah, I mean, I talked about him earlier. This pick for me would come down to three running backs: James Cook, Saquon Barkley, Ken Walker. Out of those three, I'm going to take James Cook because I have him ranked highest. I have him ahead of Jonathan Taylor this year.
All right, Jamie, let's just lay of the land a little bit of an overall super flex strategy. What are your words of wisdom?
I mean, we've been saying it all off season, certainly in our preview shows about the positions, how deep quarterback is. And so this is where it gets put to the test, right? So it's great to have Josh Allen, Drake May, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Nobody's going to argue with those guys. They're amazing, and they should be among the top producers at quarterback if they're healthy. But how big is the drop-off between those guys and then what I would think is the next tier, because Jaden Daniels, I think, belongs in this tier. He's probably the next quarterback that goes, is Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, that next crop of quarterbacks that we talk a lot about. And the gamble is, do you want to take them in round two, or can one of them potentially fall to round three? So like, I'm on deck right now and none of the other quarterbacks have gone since Joe Burrow. So do I want to still take one of the players that I think could be fantastic? You know, Alfredo mentioned one of them, Ken Walker, Justin Jefferson still on the board. We'll see what happens with the pick in front of me. Or do I want to pull the trigger on a quarterback here? So I'm probably going to skip quarterback once again and see what happens in round three.
I was looking at, you know, some of the teams, like I mentioned, some of the teams that won or were runner up in the Superflex leagues. One of them was a 10 team league, the other 12. And, you know, you could wait many, many rounds. And I think we just got an auto pick there, but it's Devon Achane, so I will leave it. You can keep waiting. You know, I might just, as an experiment, I've got Joe Burrow, right? I got Chase Brown and Joe Burrow. And I've got picks at the turn, three, four turn. As an experiment, I might wait until the 5-6 turn and just, you know, I'm probably going to do that. Let's see how many quarterbacks fly off the board. I think we're going to get our quarterback run pretty soon.
Yep.
Jamie went with Puka Nacua at 6th overall and then Ken Walker in the second round.
Yeah, no risk there.
Yeah. so far, we're up to what overall pick is this? It's pick 20 and it's AJ Brown. So 20 picks in. And only four quarterbacks off the board. They're going to start flying. Derrick Henry. Once we get done with the top 12 running backs, then I think they'll start coming up. And we probably are done. Was that RB 12?
No, there's still Hampton on the board.
Oh, Hampton. Okay. Yeah. Hampton. For what it's worth, Alfredo, one series for Justin Herbert last night. Just because I'm probably going to forget to mention it later. Arondé Gadsden only played one of those snaps and the three snaps that Herbert played. But Hampton played all three snaps, including a third and short. And then they took him out. They put Keaton Mitchell in second. What's your read on the Chargers backfield?
I think Mike McDaniel loves to troll the media and say silly things because that's just his personality. But I don't know how any coach in their right mind looks at the Chargers backfield and says, you know what we need to do is not give Amari and Hampton the ball as much as possible. He's looked great in practice and he fits this system with Mike McDaniel. I'd be taking him ahead of Derrick Henry, ahead of Devon Achane. I have him right behind some of the guys that went earlier, Ashton Jeanty, Ken Walker, Saquon Barkley. So him going where he did right now at the 211, even in a super flex, like that's a great value in my opinion.
And in a super flex league, to take Jahmyr Gibbs with the first pick and then get Jaden Daniels is wild. But that's what happened. Jaden Daniels, fourth quarterback off the board. He goes at the 2-3 turn, and then so does Brock Purdy. So team one started Gibbs. And by the way, team one, Michael did get into the draft room, so he made those picks. Gibbs, Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy. Questionable, I guess, to take Purdy as the sixth quarterback. You know, he still had Hurts, still had Dak, but whatever. Team two going with three non-quarterbacks to start. So Bijan Robinson, Omarion Hampton, Justin Jefferson. Team three, Josh Allen, Drake London, Dak Prescott. Team four, Jamar Chase, Derrick Henry, Caleb Williams. Team five, Drake May, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts. So here is a run of five quarterbacks within six picks as soon as Amari and Hampton went. Five quarterbacks within six picks. Jamie, you're on the clock with Puka and Ken Walker.
Oh, sorry. I was sending a tweet for our show later.
I'll give you a fresh 40 seconds.
I'm good. All right. Thanks. You know what? Since this is a two-receiver league and I'm going to wait on quarterback again, I'm going to take Brock Bowers.
All right, so you go. That's a nice pick right there. Brock Bowers, 30th. But now we had those five quarterbacks within six picks: Daniels, Purdy, Prescott, Caleb, and Hurts. You didn't have a quarterback. Puka and Ken Walker with your first two picks. If any of those quarterbacks had been on the board, would you have taken them over Bowers?
I would have taken Daniels. I don't know if you mentioned him. I would have taken Daniels. I would have taken Hurts. I would have taken Prescott. Not the other three. Two.
Okay. So you were thinking quarterback there, but it just didn't follow you that way. And we'll see how your team turns out. Like if you got, you know, if you're in a super flex league, you know, one of the questions you should ask yourself is, hey, what if I had Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield as my quarterbacks? Or what if I had Tyler Shuck and Baker Mayfield as my quarterbacks? How would you feel about that? You know, I think you could be fine with any build. You just might want to go to QB3 a little bit earlier than the rest of your league. Alfredo is on the clock. After Jamie took Bowers, Rashee Rice and George Pickens were off the board. You have, and then Patrick Mahomes. You have Lamar Jackson and James Cook. What are you thinking here?
He gets a steal if he wants it.
Oh, well, now I'm so nervous that I'm not going to pick this. Jamie playing the mind games right now.
Yeah. You got Nico, Olave, Neighbors.
Yeah.
Pride.
Those are all the guys that are at the top of my list right now. And I think maybe a week ago I wouldn't have taken this guy. But given the situation in Houston, I got to go Nico Collins right now.
Nico.
I was torn between Nico and Bowers.
Yeah, I think I would have been looking at, there's like three or four other receivers that I have in my queue right now that normally I probably would have taken ahead of Nico. But everything that's changed in Houston, Nico's shooting up the rankings for me.
Yep.
Do you guys devalue tight end in a format like this where we have two flexes? I mean, it's just basically the same as a three receiver league with one flex, but it's two running backs, two receivers, two flexes, but also a super flex. Does that change tight end for you?
I think it changed it for everybody, right? Bowers is not going to fall to round three in most drafts.
Well, but that's just because of the quarterbacks. But I could make the case, and hold on, let me make my pick here real quick. I've got Chase Brown and Joe Burrow. I think this would be a great time to take a quarterback. We got Herbert, Lawrence, Dart, Stafford on the board. And a lot of the quarterbacks are gone, but I'm going to chance it. I'm just going to see what happens here and take the best available non-quarterback, which to me is going to be, Devontae. No, I should probably, I'm going to take Devontae Smith. Oh, between
over Olave.
Yeah, it's so close. It's wow. So close. And then, yeah, like McBride would certainly be in play here. That's my first. All right, I can go Kyren. I can go Javonte. I can go Jacobs. Travis.
I would reach for running back when Chris Olave stared you in the face.
Yeah. I just have like some Olave fears, but it's
in round four.
What are the fears?
My fear is, I'll take.
Well, pick first and then discuss fears.
My fear with Olave. I've said this so many times, right? He basically had a Terry McLaurin season last year where his yardage, like nothing was really all that different except he scored a lot more touchdowns. So does he regress from that and go back to being like a top 24-ish wide receiver instead of a top 12-ish wide receiver? And then my other fear is I don't know how much I buy into Tyler Shuck. I've watched some tape and he's better than I thought. He's a really good arm, but this is a 27-year-old guy, right? Going into his second year. He wasn't much of a prospect. I'm worried that he goes the Bo Nix route and struggles in his second season, even with a great offensive coordinator, all that. Alfredo, I'll let you make your pick, but then we can talk about Olave. But I'm concerned about the passing game. And yeah, Jordan Tyson's not out for the season, but go ahead, Alfredo.
I'm not as concerned with Olave. I mean, I would have been if Jordan Tyson was going to be healthy, but this whole hamstring thing is something that has followed him all throughout college. And I'm not one of those guys that likes to say a player is injury prone, but one of my buddies who's a doctor who helped me with all the stuff I do at Pretend GM has been saying that he's been really concerned about the hamstring stuff because the soft tissue injuries kind of just keep replicating themselves over and over and over, and it becomes a compensation issue. Olave, I'm not as worried because I do think Tyler Shuck is actually a good quarterback. I charted him for reception perception, and everything that he was doing was he was making big boy throws. He was not doing your typical rookie stuff. He was hitting a lot of those intermediate throws, a lot of the deeper concepts that Kellen Moore likes to run that Chris Olave does so well. And that was always the problem with him and Derek Carr, is that he and Derek Carr were just not on the same page no matter what, whenever they tried to go downfield. And Shuck was doing that as a rookie, and we still saw Olave finish as high as he did in fantasy with the half of the year of Spencer Rattler. So better offensive line, better offense in general, meaning more opportunities for touchdowns. I'm in it on Olave, especially at this cost. I actually think Devontae Smith and Olave were the two guys I was looking at instead of Nico Collins. So I love the picks you made.
Okay. Because there's Collins, the neighbors. It's like, I didn't love the turn. I wish there had a player there that I thought was more like a round two value. Smith and Olave are more round three values to me. That was at the 3-4 turn, but you have so many quarterbacks mixed in there. I thought maybe I'd get lucky. After I took Smith and Olave, Justin Herbert went and Trey McBride went. So can you guys just count real? What do we have? Like 12-ish quarterbacks off the board? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11?
Yeah.
11 quarterbacks off the board, and we are 41 picks in. We're going to take a break. I'm going to bring up that tight end question again, and we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
My companion for this summer season has been ZBiotics. Let me tell you why. Just headed out to a concert at Pier 17. Houndmouth, what a show. I got home at 3 a.m. and I realized 8 a.m. tea time? What am I going to do? I got a big match. No worries at all. I took ZBiotics the night before, had a few drinks, woke up the next day like nothing happened, got to that course at 7 a.m., warmed up, and won my match. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to break down acetaldehyde, a byproduct of drinking alcohol. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that is designed to break down this byproduct. Make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and enjoy your next day activities. ZBiotics has sold more than 14 million bottles and earned the trust of thousands, including us. Try for yourself today, and if you are unsatisfied, they will refund your entire order, no questions asked. Head to ZBiotics.com/FFT. Code FFT for 15% off your first order.
So you guys, Jamie and Alfredo, have Bowers for Jamie and McBride for Alfredo. Colson Loveland just went 46th overall, and then Jackson Dart. So you guys obviously are cool with going tight end. My argument is like tight end is typically a position where the value of the tight end is based on how much better they are than the other tight ends, right? When you have like a high end tight end, right? He's just killing it compared to the other tight ends. But when you add a super flex, I feel like that gets less important because you have more, a lot more fantasy points scored by the teams every week. We're in a PPR Superflex league. So it's like, you know, the tight end may not be scoring that many points and may not really be having that same kind of impact. I like prioritizing tight end in this shallower roster leagues. This is a deeper roster, deeper starting lineup. Does that make any mathematical sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's analytically, you're correct. I just think that this year we're seeing a big change at the tight end position where pretty much everyone outside of the top three is already injured. So when I look at those elite guys, Bowers and McBride, I'm like, oh, the gap is a little bit bigger this year because everyone else from tight end 4 through tight end 10 is essentially either old or injured at this point. And I think that that gap kind of stays there, even with the super flex edition here for both Bowers and McBride.
I'm going to pause the draft real quick here. Jamie's on the clock in round 5, but I want to catch everybody up on round 4. So remember, I took Devontae Smith and Chris Olave at the 3-4 turn. We had Justin Herbert, Trey McBride to Alfredo. Through 4 rounds, Alfredo has Lamar Jackson, James Cook, Nico Collins, and Trey McBride. Then it was Ladd McConkey, Zay Flowers, Trevor Lawrence to, I think that's the Midnight Express. And they have Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. This is team 8. No, 7. Jamie, you had the 6th pick, right? Sorry. So this is team 7. So they didn't take a quarterback till round 4. They have 1. They have JSN, Devon Achan, Rashee Rice. That's pretty cool. And Trevor Lawrence. And they're about to pick again after Jamie picks. So this is an example of team 7, JSN, Devon Achan, Rashee Rice, Trevor Lawrence, and QB2 could be Kyler Murray, could be Bo Nix. If they take a quarterback here, Malik Willis, Tyler Shuck, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield. So that's a pretty good start. After Trevor Lawrence, Jamie took T. Higgins. So Jamie, you don't even have a quarterback yet. You are the only team without a quarterback. You're about to pick here in round five, but you have Puka, Ken Walker, Brock Bowers, and T. Higgins. You could have taken Jackson Dart, Jared Goff, or Matthew Stafford instead of T. Higgins. After Higgins was Jacobs, Kyron Williams, Colson Loveland, Jackson Dart, Teteroa McMillan, Emeka Buka, Jared Goff, Javonte Williams, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Waddle, and we are now at pick 54. How many teams have two quarterbacks midway through round five? One, two, three, four, five.
That's it.
And what's so interesting, I don't know if this is typical or not, those five teams are teams one through, well, they've also had more picks. They're teams one through five.
I'll tell you how this has not worked out well for me. I was hoping Lawrence would have fallen one more spot, and that did not work out well. So, you know, as I was seeing the board unfold, like, okay, maybe I get Trevor Lawrence. I wasn't going to panic, so happy to take T. Higgins. And the reason I didn't take a quarterback there was because, as you just alluded to, three of the teams of the five picking after me had already had two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So the gamble was, would one of the three guys that got drafted fall to me? And it did not work out. So obviously you have to take chances in drafts. You have to sort of see the way the board's unfolding. You have to sort of understand that what the fallback option could be. So I'm taking Kyler Murray here. That was the fallback option if all the quarterbacks went. But I would have preferred one of Dart, Stafford, and Goff.
And I think it does make a little bit of sense to me in a 12-team league for the teams that are drafting earlier to go quarterback a little bit earlier, because I think you feel like, especially in rounds two and three, right? Like if I don't take one of these top 8 or 10 quarterbacks here, there could be a big run and I might not get, and they got lucky, like there wasn't a big run. I might not get a good quarterback in round four if I have an early pick and a late round pick in round four. So I think you could see that. All right, let's resume the draft with Jamie on the clock. He's going to take Kyler Murray to give him Puka, Ken Walker, Brock Bowers, T. Higgins, and Kyler Murray. Few news items here. Sam Laporta is questionable for week one with a hip injury. Jamie, what's your reaction to that?
It's concerning, you know, especially for a guy that had a back injury last year that knocked him out for the second half of the season. So we don't want to see this, as Alfredo alluded to, after the top three tight ends. We're starting to see these guys get banged up. Tyler Warren's banged up. Tucker Kraft's coming off an injury. George Kittle may not be ready for week one, you know, so there's a lot of questions with that position. I think if you're just looking at it right now, it may change how people view the top three guys. But I think if you're still in the Laporta camp, you buy the dip and you hope that he slips a little bit in drafts and you still take advantage of what a better system, at least on paper, with Drew Petzing, the offense coordinator. So it'll probably bump up Jameson Williams. It might bump up Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe over JSN or Puka if you're concerned about those two guys. He's about as safe as you can come in the first round with still having high potential. So we'll just see how this plays out.
Okay, Quinshon Judkins dealing with a nagging injury. Todd Monken and the head coach said he's not concerned. Patrick Mahomes on track to play week one, according to Schefter. George Kittle has a decent chance to play week one, according to Schefter. Tyler Warren expected to be ready for week one, according to Ian Rappaport. Mekhi Lemon practice. Chargers center Tyler Biadasz tore his ACL. That's a tough break there. Rashad White's hamstring injury is seemingly minor. Khalil Shakir's been out. Don't think that's a big deal. Giants starting right guard Francis Maui-Noah has a stinger. The Niners signed Khalil Herbert. He played last night. And I mentioned that Cincinnati's defense had a very strong showing against the Bears offense in the joint practice. All right, Jamie took Kyler Murray. Bo Nix went. Then we had Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Luther Burden. You took Luther Burden, Alfredo.
Yep.
I'll get you. Go ahead. Give me your thoughts on why you took Burden. What you only have one quarterback here. You have Jackson, Cook, Nico, Trey McBride, and now Luther Burden.
I mean, as Jamie was talking, I was kind of doing the counting of how many quarterbacks still need to be drafted by the other teams and how many quarterbacks am I willing to draft. We needed seven more quarterbacks. There's six quarterbacks I'm willing to draft. So there's a likelihood I can get that guy or one of them in the next round or falling round after that. What I didn't want to do was miss out on Luther Burden as my wide receiver two, where he's going, because it looks like we've had roughly 24, 25 wide receivers. I haven't counted all that. And I have Luther Burden ranked well ahead of that, like around wide receiver 19 or 20 in my rankings. I just love the upside here. I love the upside here. Ben Johnson's been talking about him as if he's another Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jarvis Landry, a guy who's going to get targeted a lot. He's great after the catch. He's a prospect I really liked. And everything's still open in sort of an ambiguous pass-catching offense right now in Chicago. And if they are as good as they were last year and Luther Burden can be as efficient as he was last year, even close to that, with a greater target volume, I love that as my wide receiver too in this round.
All right, and I took, after Burden went, DeAndre Swift went. Bears run. I took Jordan Love, and I took him over Malik Willis. In a one-quarterback league, I might take Willis over Love. Love's kind of safe. Now, if they start throwing the ball more, he does have some upside. But in a two-quarterback league, like Jordan Love is to me, like a really nice QB2 in a two-quarterback league. He's not going to get benched. They're going to be a good offense. You know, like things are going to be fine. He may not win you the league, but he certainly isn't going to lose you the league. So I'm fine with that. And then I took Travis Achane. I was actually thinking about going with like Baker Mayfield and getting my third quarterback there because I don't know what the QB3 situation is going to be in 24 picks. And it might be pretty bad, but we'll see because I'm not picking again for two more full rounds. But I didn't do it. I went with Achane, then Jeremiah Love. Jamie, it was tough for me, Achane versus Love. Like that would have been unthinkable. A week ago or just before Love's injury and Kamara's injury. But what would you have done there?
I would have taken Achane. Yeah, I think there's enough of a reason to buy into him with the injury and with Kamara's injury and then with Love's ankle injury that it's worth your gamble there to take him.
Okay. Then Jeremiah Love went right after Malik Willis to Alfredo, who he loves. Tyler Warren was another guy I was considering. He's the fourth pick of round six. Baker Mayfield goes 65th overall, followed by Travion Henderson. And Jamie, who did you take in round six?
I took Breece Hall.
Why did you not take a second quarterback here? Because you only have Kyler.
I'm going to gamble again. I'm going to see if it, you know, somebody takes their third quarterback before I take my second. So there's a lot of great players on the board. I'll be happy to just, you know, hey, if I got to punt on quarterback, I'll punt on quarterback. It's not the most ideal situation in Superflex. But we've seen it happen before. We've seen teams manage through a season. There's still other quarterbacks that I like. I'm not going to hide it. My rankings are right in front of anybody that's playing on using this draft. Tyler Shuck would be the quarterback that I take. So if he makes it back to me, that'll be my next pick. If not, I'll pivot and find somebody else.
Yeah. Like, would you be so upset if Cam Ward were your QB2?
Yes. But I mean, you know, I've put myself in the situation that I need to be successful almost everywhere else. And so the Breece Hall pick is sort of the last of a pretty significant tier. Like, I like him better than Travion Henderson, to be honest. You know, he's fallen a little bit because of the injury, understandably so. But I do think that prior to the groin injury, there were a lot of signs pointing toward him having a big time bounce back season. I don't really buy into the Aaron Glenn. They're going to share to this degree. They're going to share. Every team shares, unless you're just, you know, Derrick Henry and the elite of the elite. So there's going to be other players that touch the ball. We saw it in the first preseason game, the amount of touches that Breece Hall had. I think he was the contract speaks to it. You know, this is still the same regime talking about all these same things, you know, that Breece Hall had to deal with last year. So I like Geno Smith as the quarterback, again, not to make them a playoff team. I just think he makes them a better offense. So the skill position players are better. I was perfectly happy getting this. And Tyler Shuck went, that's fine. I'll figure it out.
So I'm very curious to see the running backs here because Scadaboo just went. Now, Dave and Dan were at Giants, Dolphins, the joint practice yesterday. And, you know, based on the running back rotation yesterday, it was really bad for Cam Scadaboo. The Scadaboo, Singletary, and Tracy were all playing with the first team. No one was really standing out as the guy just in terms of playing time. And then Najee played with the second team and he looked good. So according to them, Scadaboo was taken, Bucky Irving was taken, then Tyler Shuck, then Bajal Tuten, then Quinshon Judkins. So for Judkins to go after Bucky and Tuten is a little surprising, but he does have this injury, this vague nagging injury. And here's David Montgomery. And we just had five running backs in a span of six picks, by the way, as we get to pick 76 overall. It's David Montgomery here in round seven. Jamie's on deck, by the way. And we'll see if he takes a quarterback. Jadarian Price just went. So a massive run. And it's, you know, I really like the wide receiver. Well, I could see we're kind of at the end of a tier here. Jamie took McLaurin. What are you doing, man? All right, yeah, it's taking a decent value. Gamble. It's a decent gamble because a lot of people really wait to grab their third quarterback. But two of the people drafting after you only have one quarterback. So it's
again,
you're starting Cam Ward.
Forget about Superflex. don't chase positions.
No, I disagree in Superflex. Like,
no, I don't, because there's still going to be players that are in the same type of tier. So I'm not going to risk passing up what is a better flex play just to chase a player. The difference between Cam Ward and CJ Stroud, who are the guys left, Daniel Jones, okay, these quarterbacks, it's just not worth it.
All right. If you think
Shuck was still there, I would have said no doubt about it. I think Shuck is in a tier above those guys. But to put the other quarterbacks that we're talking about here in the same grouping, I'll figure it out.
All right. Look, if you have a tier and you think one of them is going to be available to you in the next round, that's one thing. But at some point, you got to get a QB2 in Superflex, because you can't say, oh, Jacoby Brissett's going to be my guy. He's going to lose his job. He could. Geno Smith could lose his job. Right? There's no quarterback on the waiver wire in a 12-team Superflex.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But again, like, to just be chasing that position, it's the same thing as like, oh, bleep, I don't have an RB2 yet, but here's this great wide receiver still there. I don't have to start this wide receiver, but why would I not put him on my team?
No, I agree. It just Superflex, like, you can't run out of options. You know, like, I understand you don't want to chase a position, but if you think that there's going to be someone there that you're fine with the next round, then great. Yeah, take Terry McLaurin. But I do think if you ever have to chase a position, it's when the quarterbacks are drying up in a super flex league.
I'm not disagreeing with your theory. It's just the players that we're talking about here. There's just such a group of players right now, and they're coming off the board. You know, kudos to the people that are drafting them. Second quarterback, in some cases, third quarterback. It makes sense. But I don't want to pass up on still a starter in my lineup. Terry McLaurin will be my flex. And you say this all the time. You don't always have to start a quarterback in Superflex.
Yeah, but I don't.
It's preferable when it's 6 points for passing touchdowns. I'm not going to deny that, but you don't have to.
I think you say that more than I do, because I do not want to do that. Yeah, in a 6 point per passing touchdown league. I have not had any Parker Washington. I think it's time for me to... No, I think it's time. I like Romo Dunze better. I'm going to take Romo Dunze.
Take them both.
Yeah, you're on the turn.
I am on the turn. I can take them both. They're both would be starters for me. However, this is where I feel like I need to get my third quarterback, because I have Burrow and Love. And again, I'm not picking for another two full rounds.
See, now I feel like you're doing that just to prove a point to Jamie that he should have chased quarterback.
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't know. Actually, I guess I could gamble. But if like the next eight quarterbacks are off the board, let's see what happens. All right, let's take let's take Parker Washington. All right. So my team right now from the 12th spot is Joe Burrow and Jordan Love, Chase Brown and Travis Achane, Devontae Smith and Chris Olave, Romo Dunze, Parker Washington at flex. I like it. I don't love it.
Well, if you love it, it's great.
I wish either Devontae Smith or Chris Olave had been, you know, either Rashee Rice or Nico Collins or something like that. It just didn't work out that way, but I just missed on those guys. We got team 11 on the clock with McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Malik Nabers, Justin Herbert, DeAndre Swift, Jeremiah Love, and Mike Evans, and Sam Laporta. All right, Sam Laporta goes 86th overall. Jonathan Brooks, Alfredo. That was another guy I was considering. What's your read, Alfredo? You took Brooks. Your read on the running backs in Carolina?
I mean, loved him as a prospect coming out, and obviously it's been annoying that he's injured every year. But everything is pointing to a clean bill of health this year. And with Chuba Hubbard, these soft tissue injuries, the hamstring stuff, like that's the kind of thing that lingers around. And they're saying he might be ready for week one, there's a good chance he's not. And then even if he is playing, he's probably not up to full speed. We could see Jonathan Brooks, and I'm willing to take this risk, by the way, this late, because there's so many players that I'm having to start. I'm willing to take more risks this late in the draft on a guy like Jonathan Brooks. If he's the starter for Carolina and he's getting the lion's share of the work, awesome. I just got a really good RB2 much later than everyone else. And if not, this doesn't kill me. What round are we in? Round eight? Mm-hmm. A round eight pick doesn't kill your draft. So I'm willing to take more chances as we get later, especially with a roster that's so big.
And that was only your second running back. So you waited a while on RB2. You have Trey McBride. You took Lamar Jackson as the third quarterback off the board. So you just stacked up at other positions. After you took Brooks, it was J.K. Dobbins, Ramondre Stevenson, Harold Fannin Jr., and Jamie got his guy, C.J. Stroud.
That was the guy I would have taken where I took McLaurin.
Perfect. That's great.
Yep.
That's great.
Coming again.
And in between your McLaurin and Stroud pick, only two quarterbacks went, Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold. So you take Stroud. DK Metcalf goes. And we'll see some of the quarterbacks available, which Jacoby Brissett, Cam Ward, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith, Bryce Young, Tua Tagovailoa. And if you're doing a Superflex league, just know that I don't know how much it would change, Jamie, but if you're looking at Jamie's rankings, Dave's, he's whatever, that's their one QB league rankings. You know, I think you could certainly make the case that any quarterback that you think has a good chance to get benched at some point, like Jacoby Brissett, should be behind someone like Cam Ward or Aaron Rodgers, who have more job security. Would you agree, Jamie?
I think it depends on your build. You know, so in the case of Alfredo, for example, because I think Lamar Jackson and Malik Willis are awesome, but obviously there's some questions about Malik Willis, right? So I probably would take a little bit of a safer floor there, just in case Willis doesn't live up to the fantasy expectations. And in the case of what I'm doing, I probably would take a safer floor, just because I don't have the security of my QB1 being Kyler Murray. You know, so I think it kind of plays into what you're doing. Like in the case of what you did with Joe Burrow and Jordan Love, like that's the kind of pick I would probably swing for the fences, because I think you have two guys, as you alluded to with Jordan Love, why you took Love over Willis. You took him because there's no fear of being benched. So like,
I didn't mean that, because I don't think Malik Willis is getting benched. I took Jordan Love because he's like nice and safe. Well, that's not going to be bad.
Whatever the definition is, you took a player that has a very safe floor. In the case of what you did, I would take a ceiling play as opposed to a safe play for the third QB.
That's fine. I should have said this and I didn't. I actually do think Jordan Love has a decent ceiling. I don't think it's top five, but it could easily be like QB 10 or something like that, because he's really good and really efficient. They just have to throw the ball more. And if Josh Jacobs is hurt or Josh Jacobs gets suspended, I think that changes their offense a little bit. And Jordan Love, you know, I saw someone on TV yesterday. I don't know. TV was on in the office, and somebody on ESPN said Jordan Love's going to remind everybody how good he is. And I can see that happening, because he just needs to throw the ball more. But you're right. I said what I said. And Love has some hidden upside. I catch up on some picks here. After Jamie took Stroud in round 8, it was Metcalf, Gainwell, Michael Wilson, Brian Thomas Jr., Tucker Kraft, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Chris Godwin, Jaylen Warren. Who do we got here? Kyle Pitts and Bryce Young. Alfredo, any picks here that I just mentioned, the last 12 picks or so? Jamie just took his third quarterback, and it's Jacoby Brissett. The last 12 or so picks that really stand out?
As I look at it, I'd probably say Kyle Pitts going that late works for me. He's a guy that I have around tight end 5. So to see him go, what is this, tight end 8 or 9? And as far down as he did, I think I would be probably avoiding the Kraft, Finn, and Laporta area of the draft. And I mean, getting Pitts after you've already set up 4 running backs, your 2 quarterbacks, 2 wide receivers, it feels like a good build for, what is that, team number 4? So yeah, that's the one that stands out for me. It's just the build.
All right. We're going to take a little break here. I'm going to pause the draft, and we are at pick 106 right now. We have about 5 or 6 rounds left. We'll be right back to finish it off. All right. It is Friday morning here. So before we get back to the draft, quick programming announcements. Our draftathon finale, our big show, is Wednesday, August 26th, I believe that is. Yes, August 26th, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Alfredo will be on. So will many other great guests around the industry. So we're looking forward to that. We've got CBS Sports Network at noon Eastern today. So if you're around this afternoon, turn on CBS Sports Network. You can see, if you miss it, you can see it on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. We're going to talk about players you can't forget about. The Breakfast Club edition. Don't you forget about me. And we've got a mailbag this afternoon.
Aren't you?
Probably. I mean, I'm definitely going to do this. You know, Dan's not going to get the reference. But that's me, Jamie, and Dan. And then me, Jamie, and Damon again for the mailbag. But please put the Draftathon show on your calendar. I want to thank everyone who donated. We raised about $1,400 last night during that stupid tennis match that nobody cares about anymore ever. But we're now at 100. And we had the auctions closed last night. We made almost 30 grand from the auctions competing in leagues with us. So we have 1 spot left in Alfredo's league. 1 spot. Sell this damn league out already. Just someone go on tinyurl.com/fftdonate2026 and buy that spot in Alfredo's league, and let's get it filled here. We're close to selling out the FFT Open, but we are at just under 160K raised for St. Jude. And a big thank you to all of you out there who have donated. And a big thank you to someone named Claire Philpy, who some of you have probably interacted with, but she's more or less running all of this and has done an incredible job. She's kept us so organized and she's helped us raise a lot of money. But this is amazing. I mean, every year I'm so blown away by people's generosity. So thank you for that. I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to say about the preseason games last night. Jamie, any major takeaways?
I think you alluded to one with Aronde Gadsden. He's basically undraftable. Not that he was getting drafted, but just sucks because he looked really good last year. Just feels like Mike McDaniel wants to go in a different direction. And then it feels as if Jalen Naylor is not going to be a big factor for the Raiders early in the season. Trey Tucker seems like, at least on paper, the number one wide receiver. We had some questions in the offseason after they signed Naylor and not really anybody else. Naylor played with the reserves last night. Trey Tucker did not. So I think that kind of speaks to whatever late round dart throw. I don't know if we did this on the air or off the air, the mention of the flex leagues. I took both with two of my last picks, kind of the friendship strategy we talk about a lot, just to see which one may emerge early in the season. Feels like I may be cutting Jalen Naylor sooner than expected and holding on to Trey Tucker longer than expected.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious to see why Jalen Naylor played. I don't know if there was a reason for that, but never good when you're the one supposed starter playing with the backups. Alfredo, here's a comment from Patty. Stribling is a beast. And he had four catches for 46 yards on five targets, and he dropped what could have been a 33-yard touchdown on a beautiful double move that he made. And I watched the All-22 this morning, and I was really, really impressed. Like, he got open. His moves, he separates, at least in this game, granted against some backups. But, yeah, I think that's the guy we got to talk about here. What do you think about Dejon Stribling? And also, just so I don't forget, Kalen Black started and basically was an every down back while he was in the game. But Stribling, Alfredo.
Before he answers, please put up Maddie's comment while Alfredo is answering, because it is well worth it.
Why does Brown look like he plays a prince at Disneyland? Alfredo?
You know what? Someone commented this morning on my YouTube channel that Alfredo looks like handsome Shrek. And I think they meant it in a derogatory way. And I don't know how I feel about it. This is the second time that someone has said something like this, that I look like a cartoon character today. And I don't know if it's good or bad.
It's great. Jerk. I mean, hair is great.
Yeah.
Well, everything. I mean, hair. Look, you could definitely, you know, call up Disney and see if they have a part for you. With live animation movie, like, perfect.
But right now, Alfredo, I'd love for you to be our guest and tell us about Dejon.
Wow. What a transition. Stribling, I liked him coming out of Ole Miss, and I'm sure everyone is saying that right now. He was one of those guys where I was like, oh, he could be a good find later in like early day three, and then the Niners took him early, and then of course you kind of lose the excitement about it because you're like, that was kind of a reach. But now more and more opportunity keeps opening up for him in San Francisco, and he just looks good. Like, at a certain point you can't say, oh, it was a reach. Like, he's just a good player with opportunity at this point in a good offense. So yeah, like, he's, especially where he's going in drafts, he's one of those guys where I'm willing to take the risk, because if he even has a decent rookie year, he's potentially a fantasy wide receiver three, and you're probably drafting him as a wide receiver four or five. So the upside is there. I like the player. I don't want to get a little too over my skis, because we do this with rookies, especially ones that produce so heavily in the preseason, but I'm above excitement level on Dejon Stribling.
I think that's the best way to frame it. Please start the draft so we can finish the thing. The other part I think to just keep in mind is everything he's doing without Mike Evans and George Kittle on the field. Those are such
and McCaffrey.
Well, I'm just talking about the receivers, but yeah, it's great.
No, but you know, they didn't throw to Kalen Black yesterday, right? They throw to McCaffrey all the time.
The point would be is that he's looking the part. He is justifying the draft pick. Anybody that was doubting Dejon Stribling or questioning the 49ers has no room to talk at this point. But where he's getting steamed up in drafts is a play on, which is a good play, on a 30-plus-year-old Mike Evans struggling with injuries in camp, on a 32-year-old George Kittle coming off an Achilles injury, on a 30-plus-year-old Debo Samuel, on a 30-plus-year-old Christian Kirk. It could work out great. It also could go a different direction, because if those guys do stay healthy and they're not all going to miss games at the same time, he may not get the target share that he needs. So just understand that if we're talking redraft.
Okay, we're back to the draft here. After Jamie took Jacoby Brissett, Dejon Stribling the next
I thought that's why you discussed it.
Yeah, I was like, man, Adam is on his game.
Absolutely not.
Good transition, like, paying attention to the board.
Cam Ward, Michael Pittman, Jaden Reed, Rico Dowdle. I took Tony Pollard as my RB3. I don't have a tight end. I really like Isaiah Likely. It's pretty clear he's going to be a big part of their offense. But Aaron Rodgers, do I have to take him? Because we are pretty much out of good quarter, out of like quarterbacks that are even going to keep their job. Yeah, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. Ah, I should have taken Likely. But then, like, I should have taken him. Threat. What should I have done there? What do you guys think? I think I did the right thing.
I think it's easier to question yourself when you make picks.
Yeah. I think it's probably easier than you think to find a quarterback 3 later on in the season, but it's fine. I don't know that Rodgers is going to help you by starting. Like, is he going to score more than the running back 30 in any given week?
I would hope so.
he might not. It might be that bad.
Yeah. It's just, you look at your roster and you go, man, like if Jordan Love gets hurt or Joe Burrow gets hurt, I'm screwed. And that may be the case with or without Aaron Rodgers. I should have taken Likely. Yeah.
Who was the Colts offensive coordinator that was like, we don't have a plan B back in the day. If Peyton Manning gets hurt, like the season's done anyways. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers becomes a really good Tom Moore.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Probably.
Maybe you should have taken Joe Flacco.
Maybe. Yeah, you know what? I was a bad pick. I should have taken Likely. Do me a favor, guys. Don't take Likely. Let me just... Now, the other reason I didn't take Likely is we still have Kelce and Kittle and Goddard. So I feel like I could probably get one of them, but we'll see. After my... what do you guys think about Rico Dowdle going before Tony Pollard, by the way? And Jaylen Warren, for that matter.
Jaylen Warren went before him?
Yeah, Warren and Dowdle both went before Pollard. What do you think about that?
Warren and Dowdle went before Pollard.
I'm fine with it.
Dowdle, yes. Warren, yeah, I guess. I mean, they're all kind of in the same tier, you know, so it's a matter of, can the Titans offense, I say that as I just took Wanda Robinson, but can the Titans offense look better than it did in the first preseason game against backup 49ers players? I think that's going to be the case. I think they'll improve as the season goes on. I think Pollard's still underrated, but the Steelers guys, you know, if one emerges of the other one, probably in a better spot. And, you know, it's a gamble, this one, which is the better of the two.
There's definitely some buzz that Tajay Spears could have a bigger role than we'd like. So he might be a good pick late. Let's get into the latest picks here. We're in round 10. And it was Aaron Rodgers, who the hell was that? Oh, Geno Smith. Believe it or not, I'm having trouble seeing the screen. RJ Harvey, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Mason, Fernando Mendoza threw a pick 6 yesterday, but also made some really good throws. There was a drop. And then on the next play, a ball that I thought should have been caught. I wouldn't exactly call it a drop. He could have had some pretty good numbers other than the pick 6. I thought he looked good yesterday. Wandale Robinson, Blake Corum, Cortland Sutton, KC Concepcion. Sutton and Concepcion going back-to-back is kind of weird when I've seen them, you know, usually 4 rounds apart, Jamie. What do you think?
I mean, obviously Sutton's going to fall because of the addition of Jaylen Waddle and the Pat Bryant, you know, hype, to whatever extent you want to call it hype. Concepcion is clearly a player on the rise. And if the quarterback play can be competent in Cleveland, like, he's going to be awesome because he's just got that much upside and ability. So it's a problem because it's Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. But man, if they can just give him easy touches, I love the first preseason game. You know, the manufactured touches are always cool when you see a player like this and has the upsides, you know, so jet sweeps and, you know, just putting the ball in his hands in easy locations, you know, he's going to do some great things with it. But I think you're talking, you know, floor versus ceiling here. And so if you want the floor play, you're taking Cortland Sutton. If you want the ceiling play, I think it's Concepcion.
Okay. After those two players, didn't make a friend today because one of our drafters here. Oops, did I just turn on autopilot for someone? Oh, we got some auto picks coming in here. Nathaniel, Team Herklove, took Isaiah Likely. And I thought I told you not to do that, but you didn't want to listen. All right, so he takes Likely, and then Quentin Johnston. After Likely was Menangai. Is that Gadsden who went there? Oh, no,
Dallas Goedert.
Okay. Quentin Johnston, Carson Beck.
It's so funny how you came to Florida and you can't figure out technology and your eyes are gone. You really become a senior citizen.
It's the humidity. Really got some.
You know, if you're wondering, like, why didn't I scroll down on the draft board, if you're watching, I couldn't find the window. I've got so much going on here. Like, I couldn't find the draft room window, the draft board. Josh Downs has picked Rashad White to Jamie. Are we picking backups here? We're in round 11. Might still be picking some starters. I don't have a tight end yet. Let's see. We can start looking at some of these teams as we wind this podcast down. We got a few more minutes. Four rounds left, or 3.5 rounds left. We're doing great. So Rashad White was the most recent pick, and now let's just look at the Midnight Express's team. The only problem is I don't know if I can find. There we go. All right, we got to scroll up. So that he just took.
You need help?
No, I'm good. All right, here's his team. JSN. Oh, this is the team we talked about earlier. JSN, Achan, Rice, Lawrence, Nix, Travion Henderson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Harold Fannin Jr., Dejon Stribling, Fernando Mendoza, and Alec Pierce. I would say JSN, Achan, Rashee Rice, Lawrence, Bo Nix. That's great. The Midnight Express. I hated a lot of your picks after that, but that doesn't mean I'm right. But I never draft Travion Henderson. You drafted him over Breece Hall. I don't really like Marvin Harrison Jr. You drafted him over Evans, Odunze, Parker Washington. I don't really draft Harold Fannin Jr. You drafted him over Kraft and Kyle Pitts. Stribling, fine. I'm not going to argue after that. I'm sorry, Midnight Express. Also not making friends with you today. My apologies. Let's look at pick number 8. At this point, remember, in round 1, only two quarterbacks off the board. But team 8 went with Amon-Ra St. Brown, then Saquon Barkley. Did not take a quarterback until round 6. So here's a way to build your team with going almost zero QB. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Saquon Barkley, George Pickens, Zay Flowers, Garrett Wilson. Those were his first 5 picks. 4 receivers, St. Brown, Pickens, Flowers, and Wilson, and 1 running back. I got to take Kelsey here as my tight end. Sorry. We'll get back to team 8 in a second because it's an interesting build. I took Kelsey. And some good players left here. Mekhi Lemon returned to practice. Could take a look at him. Jordan Addison. Let's go with Jordan Addison.
It's a great pick.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't really... I definitely should have taken... Maybe I should have taken a running back, whatever. Jordan Addison. All right, so back to team 8, right? Because if you want to really wait on quarterback, this is a team that did that. St. Brown, Barkley, Pickens, Flowers, Garrett Wilson. That's freaking cool. Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones. We just stop right there. I mean, Alfredo, how do you feel about that team of Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Ramondre Stevenson's his RB2, St. Brown, Pickens, Flowers, Garrett Wilson?
The wide receivers sound a lot better than everything else. Where is he on the draft board? Sorry, I'm 8. In the middle of my pick. So,
oh, yeah, my bad. He's 8th.
Eighth. It's fine. I think you're going to get some very low-end, middling quarterback play. I think the pick that needs to hit for you is one of those RB2s. Ramondre Stevenson or Jordan Mason, where you get them is fine, but I don't, especially this year and in Superflex, I don't love the wide receiver heavy build that early.
Interesting. That's beauty is in the eye. This is not a Beauty and the Beast joke, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder, because I really like this team a lot. Like,
I mean, I like St. Brown, I like Barkley, and I like Pickens and Flowers a lot. So the first 4 picks are great. It's just when you look at it as in its entirety and in the build, and all of a sudden you're saying, okay, my quarterbacks aren't great, my running back 2 is not great, and I don't see tight end there. You just have so many positions where you're not great. Having that many good wide receivers really doesn't separate you from the rest of the pack.
Mm. Maybe his team will start off really good and then turn into a pumpkin. What do you think?
Okay.
Okay. You drafted Matthew Golden in round 12. I think we're gonna end the podcast after round 12 because Jamie has to get into the office for CBS Sports Network. So let's just look at one more team. Alfredo, give me a number 1 through 12 that's not Jamie's team, my team, or your team.
Let's go 3.
All right, team 3 took Josh Allen, right? First team to take a quarterback, then Drake London, then Dak Prescott. So this team is one of the strongest at quarterback with Allen and Prescott. Also Colston Loveland in the fourth round. So, I mean, getting Javonte Williams in round five, I think was a really good pick for team three to get that RB1. You got Josh Allen, Drake London, Dak Prescott, Colston Loveland, Javonte Williams, Christian Watson as wide receiver two, Quinshon Judkins as one of the flexes, Michael Wilson or Jaylen Warren as the other flex, Casey Concepcion, Carson Beck, and he just picked, or he or she just picked Romeo Doubs. So the starting lineup is Allen and Dak, Javonte and Judkins, London and Watson, Colston Loveland at tight end, and the flexes would be Michael Wilson and Jaylen Warren, I think.
Solid.
Yeah, solid. I don't love that so many of the pass catchers later on and skill players are attached to bad quarterbacks and bad offenses. You got two Browns there. You've got Michael Wilson and the Cardinals, which could be good, but you know, we'll see. I'm all for taking chances, but it kind of seems like there's a lot of risks at all of the positions for that team, except quarterback and tight end, which seem to be really strong.
Yeah. The Loveland pick, you know, was a pick that might make her, because you know, you are, when you take two quarterbacks to the first three picks and then you take a tight end, you know, you're going to be kind of weak at the other positions.
It's absolutely the make or break pick. You're taking Loveland the same round as McBride, meaning you are expecting him to be elite. And if he's not elite, your team is probably not very good this year.
I should have said this earlier in the show, but my favorite thing about Superflex is that I don't really think your draft position matters. You know, we get so many questions. Hey, I can choose my spot in the draft. Where should I pick? And you have your opinions. I want an early pick. I want a late pick. I want to make sure I get one of those, two of those top 12 running backs, whatever it is. We just did like two episodes on this. In Superflex, I really think it's just even footing for everyone. That's my favorite thing. Jamie, what were some of your main takeaways from this exercise today?
If you don't want to be squeamish at quarterback, don't wait like I did. So, you know, maybe go a little bit sooner. I actually have a super flex draft at 1:30. I'm picking seven. So this was a good lesson since I picked six here. I think just, you know, the flip side of that is if you do punt on quarterback, essentially, or pass on quarterback or kick on quarterback, you can still pivot and build a strong roster. And so you got to take some chances, take some high upside players, you know, so hopefully guys like Breece Hall and Terry McLaurin, injuries and now competition, et cetera, you know, where you're getting value, those guys hit. But in theory, I could have the number one receiver. I could have the number one tight end. I could have a very strong backfield with Ken Walker and Breece Hall. And then hopefully the quarterback play is good enough. You know, like Alfredo was saying in regards to Aaron Rodgers, like you don't want to have the 30th best running back when you're talking about one of your quarterbacks playing. I know you were talking about a third quarterback, but essentially that's what I have here in CJ Stroud and Jacoby Brissett. Those aren't ideal number two quarterbacks. But if they're close enough to the top 20 guys and everything else works out for me, I'll be very competitive. So I think just the build matters here, when you want to take your quarterback, how soon you want to take your quarterbacks. I really love what the team at pick seven did by waiting it out and getting Trevor Lawrence. Like that to me was fantastic. And again, hoping that had fallen to me one more pick.
Okay. We're just about done with the draft. Different ways to go about it. I would expect in a 12 team super flex league, I would expect the 2-3 turn to be pretty quarterback heavy in most drafts. And it was in this one. It didn't start until we got to the 24th pick, but then we had five of six quarterbacks gone. I just feel like if you still have elite quarterbacks on the board at that point, they're going to start flying off. I don't know. Every super flex is kind of its own animal, but I think people might feel that way, especially once those top 12 running backs come off. And that's as soon as that happened, as soon as Amari and Hampton RB12 was drafted, five quarterbacks in the next six picks. That was one thing that stood out to me. See if it gets duplicated in our next Superflex draft, mock drafts. Thank you to everyone who drafted with us. I would encourage
you. Crushed it, by the way. If you're not playing in a league with him, you're dumb.
Yeah, one spot left for the FFT Open. I mean, gosh, I can't think of a
Mom, I know you're watching. Donate. It's for a good cause.
I can't think of a Disney Prince pun right now, but there's something out there. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on CBS Sports Network and the Mailbag. See you later.
Paramount Podcasts.